Hello and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello and welcome, Ed.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good to be here.
It is always great to have you here. And I'm really excited about our discussion today. It's going to kind of be a history lesson about Southwestern University itself, which is celebrating its 175th birthday this year in 2015.
That's right. In fact, February 5th is our charter day.
Oh, happy charter day.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. And in fact, there'll be lots of cake and candles and actually a bunch of interesting symposia. In fact, one of the cool things that we will be doing that day is this series, which is very distinctive. It's called the Paideia Connections series. And this is where we take two faculty members. We take two of them from two disparate areas and we put them together. They each give a 20-minute talk on their cutting-edge research, so not an expository talk, but what they're currently working on, but for a general audience. 20 minutes, and then the last 20 minutes of the hour, the audience is not asking questions, which is what you normally have, but the audience has to make connections between these two seemingly disparate lectures. And in fact, these two presentations are created independently, so there's no collusion. You can't talk to your colleague about this.
Well, tell us a little bit about the history of Southwestern, because it actually is kind of a coming together of some disparate institutions.
Actually, absolutely. That's right. It's a Paideia moment in and of itself. You know, there were these four fledgling colleges. The first one, which was established in chartered in 1840, older than Texas itself, Reutersburg College, Mackenzie College, Wesleyan College, and Seoul University. And these were four very small fledgling schools that really brought higher education to Texas for the very first time. So when we're celebrating our 175th anniversary, we're also calling it the 175th anniversary of higher education in Texas. Eventually, these schools were to the point where it wasn't clear if they were going to survive. And a strategic decision was made that what if all these four different institutions came together and formed one university? And that was the birth of Southwestern University. And by then, Texas was a state. And so we had to get a new charter that would be the charter for Southwestern. And we approached the fledgling government, the state government, and said, you know, this is where the first school and our new name will be Texas University.
How did that go over?
Yeah, well, you'd think it'd go over fine, right? They'd be excited. Oh, this is great. But they were being strategic, the state, and said, you know, one day, years and years and years from now, we might want to have our own school, you know, a state school. So we better keep that name just in case we want to actually have a school, Texas University. So they forced us. They said, we'll charter you under a different name, come up with a different name. And so we came up with Southwestern. So the fact that the University of Texas is the University of Texas is courtesy of Southwestern University. You're welcome, everybody.
Now, well, and that's one of the pieces of history that I didn't know about Southwestern. Now, you keep saying Southwestern, Southwestern. I can't help but think about Northwestern, which, of course, is in Evanston, Illinois, right outside of Chicago. There's no relation. I mean, no relation there, right?
Well, there's no relation except that we were both founded by, you know, the Methodist Church originally, United Methodist Church. But I'll tell you something that's interesting, that Northwestern was really a reaction to Southwestern.
What do you mean a reaction?
Well, so Southwestern University was kind of up and running and was enjoying the success that it was enjoying. And so some of the Methodist folks up in the north part of the country said, gee, why don't we have a similar thing up here? And so the reason why it's called Northwestern is really because of the understanding and appreciation and trying to replicate what was happening at Southwestern.
So I'm learning so much during this about Southwestern, but I have to tell you, Ed, something that's been on my mind since the last time we talked was the math puzzler from last time. I need to learn the answer to that because I'm getting a little
antsy about it. The
light bulb question.
You want to have a light bulb moment where the light bulb goes off.
I need to have a light bulb moment. We were calling these math hangers. It's like a cliffhanger, but it's a math hanger. Now, remind everybody what the puzzler last time was, and I'm eager for the solution.
Okay, very quickly. So you're in a room that has three light switches on or off. And then the room goes through a hallway and leads to another room, which is not visible from the first room. And in that second room, there are three light bulbs. And one of the switches controls one of the light bulbs. And the question is, what is the fewest number of times that you have to go back and forth from room to room to identify which light switch, in fact, works which light bulb?
And you're always telling us to think of a clever solution to this. So what is the clever solution to this one?
I also gave you another hint, which is that this is a real world
right,
situation.
Right, it is a real world. This is not hypothetical. This is real world.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, this is not my area of research where I'm so abstract that you know, nothing is real in my world. But this is an actual real world light switch, real world light bulb, and so forth. Okay. Well, of course, you could do it in three, right? Because you could turn a switch, walk to the other room, see which one, and say, okay, that one's that, and then come on back, turn the switch off, turn another one on, go, and then come on back, and then do it a third time. You could actually only do it twice, if you think about it, because once you do the second time,
you'll know
the third one by process of elimination.
Uh-huh.
Question is, can you do it only one trip?
All right. The look on your face tells me the answer to that is yes, but I don't know how you get there.
Okay, so here's what you do. Okay, I'm going to reveal the secret.
Okay.
Turn on the first switch and wait. And just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. Now turn off this first switch and turn on the second switch and go into the room. Why will that do it? Well, the light bulb that's on, you know, is connected to two. And now touch the other two, and the one that's hot was connected to one. One trip is all that's required.
Now, does this work for all kinds of light bulbs? That's the question.
If you're going to be politically correct, I'm going to walk off the show. These are real world light bulbs.
These are
and they
real
get
world
hot
light bulbs.
As they're supposed to.
Now,
is their want.
This is such a great example because I wasn't thinking of anything but the steps and the bulbs and the switches.
The important thing when you're thinking about anything, not just these math riddlers, is the fact that you've got to think about all possibilities. What happens if I do something and then do nothing? I mean, that's a lesson. And so that's the thing to think about. Is to look at unusual ways of looking at a circumstance. And quite frankly, that's, of course, what liberal arts are all about, teaching you how to think about things in very unconventional, unusual ways.
Well, and if you go back and listen to some previous higher ed episodes, we talked about liberal arts and sort of what liberal arts is and how to think about that. So if you didn't catch that one, you'll definitely want to go back. Actually, I think that's the episode that contains the setup for this puzzle. So if you missed that one, definitely have to go back and listen. So Ed, I want to go back and pick up on something you said a little earlier. You were talking about, use the word paideia.
Well, it comes from the ancient Greek word patheia, which really is about one's educating themselves and kind of making the whole person. The paideia curriculum, which is really distinctive at Southwestern, is one in which the curriculum works together. And so instead of taking a bunch of disparate courses and checking off a list of things to do, as one does in the liberal arts, I've taken some humanities, I've taken some social sciences, I've taken some natural sciences, I've taken some fine arts. Instead, the faculty actually work together so that as a student goes through their general education, there's a suite of these courses that are designed to flow. And the faculty actually culminate these classes into what's called the Paideia Seminar, which are actually team taught. But Paideia more generally at Southwestern really means making connections. A lot of faculty now have as one of their elements on their curriculum, on their syllabus, take the ideas, the thinking used in this class and apply them to something else, make a connection. Not with necessarily even the subject matter, but the mindset, the modes of thought, and apply it to something else. This is what they'll hold with them, that every time they see something new that's stimulating in an intellectual way, they'll start to apply it in different things.
How do students respond to that?
They love it.
They love it.
Yeah. In fact, it's amazing to see students begin to think not just about the subject, but think through their subjects. Did I tell you the story about the student that came to me and got mad at me in my calculus class?
No, but now you have to tell us that story.
Yeah, very quickly. Early in the semester, I got this kind of angry email from a student. She said, I just want to let you know that I was at soccer practice the other day, and we had to go through this obstacle course with the ball and so forth. And all of a sudden, I became conscious of my speed and my velocity, and I started thinking about how I would graph my motion and where my velocity is increasing and decreasing and what that would look like on a graph. And so you actually, our calculus class, got into my soccer practice. And of course, I took that as a great compliment. I think she was saying, I'm annoyed that you somehow got into my life. Well, every course is supposed to get into your life. And so I took it as a great compliment, and I pointed that out to her, and she understood too.
Thank you so much for sharing that, and thank you for helping us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. Happy 175th birthday. You can find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.
We don't look a day over 170, do we?